Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Diz Unplugged, coming to you live, hopefully, from the Bob Farley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined in the studio this week by my good friends and new father, Mr. Craig Williams.
Ahoy, ahoy.
My good friend and old mother,
gosh,
Teresa Eccles.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And now, are we streaming?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's finally working.
We're doing this part two because we had done this at 1 o'clock and apparently we weren't streaming.
Nope.
So, but we are now. So sorry about the delay. I know it's late, but hey, stuff happens. Before I get started, I just want to extend my condolences and ask you for your good thoughts and prayers for Panda, lost a close family member, I believe, last night. And I spoke to him this morning. He's quite torn up about it. So please keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. Okay. Now, we have something to talk about. There's news. Biggest news of the year.
News.
Biggest news of the year. Unless you've been living under a rock, Bob Chapek is out at Disney. He's out. He's gone. And it appears he was pretty much unceremoniously fired by the board of directors. If the rumors hold true, he was supposed to, you know, they were going to stream the Elton John concert.
Sunday night.
And a lot of Disney executives were there. Bob Chapek was supposed to introduce Elton. And as these executives were arriving at the stadium for the concert, their phones are blowing up that the board just fired Chapek.
I mean, it's fine. Like, in terms of the concert, it still went off without
It wasn't like without Bob Chapek on stage, somehow the concert was going to suffer.
I heard Elton wasn't going to perform unless Bob Chapek came
out. It was in his contract. Green M&Ms and Chapek.
So, a lot of rumors swirling about what happened.
Who was making all the calls to the Commissioner Gordon, calling him on the bat phone, you know, all the executives in the audience?
Oh, I'm sure he heard from the chairman of the board of directors.
Big Hook came out and pulled him off stage.
Thank you, but your services are no longer required. And a lot of speculation floating around right now as to why this happened. The timing of it is interesting, coming off the earnings call recently that was not a positive call for the company. The stock tanked. And from what some news outlets are reporting, what's her name? The CFO.
Christine McCarthy.
I was going to say Karen McDaniels. I had general letters right. Christine McCarthy apparently went to the board of directors and said she no longer had confidence and Chapek's ability to run the company. And this was only echoing what certain members of the board, apparently, according to reports, have been saying for quite a while. And it turns out there was a reason that Chapek's contract hadn't been renewed. That there were questions as to whether or not they were going to continue. But it was the chairman of the board of directors who championed him, who pushed through getting his contract renewed for 3 years. They just renewed it in February. Although they backdated it. They backdated his contract. So that really he was only going to be there for 2 years because the board was not certain about this. Now they announced, of course, at that time that it was unanimous. And while the decision itself to renew his contract was unanimous, there was a lot of hand-wringing going on among the board of directors. You have activist investors that were pushing to get rid of him. And then let's not overlook the fact that, you know, he and Iger weren't exactly best friends at the end. And Iger has made no secret of the fact that he hasn't been happy with how things are being run. And, you know, they had this bad this bad investor call, which is really, it's streaming that's killing them right now. Mm-hmm. It's streaming that's killing them. Billions of dollars being spent on content that they're not making that money back yet, which is understandable that they're not making the money back, but investors are like,
yeah. On top of the fact that, you know, they did purchase Fox, which was $71
million? Billion.
Billion, sorry.
Yeah,
$71 million.
Sorry, that was my Dr. Evil moment.
$1 million. Yeah. Yeah. Disney dollars.
Yeah. $71 billion Disney dollars. That's a lot of money. They're preparing for having to, you know, buy out their stake of Hulu unless that doesn't actually go through. And they decide to give it to Comcast and step in. I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff, but there's a lot of money going into streaming because that is what the world thought was going to be the cash cow. And obviously everything started happening with Netflix and trending downhill. Not that Disney Plus isn't making extremely good content. They are some of the best content they've made in years, and it's all on Disney Plus, but obviously, it's still hard for them to make money on this system right now. And that's what the board wants to see. That's what stockholders want to see. They want the money. But also, too, you know, it's no doubt that Disney fans are not happy with the general direction of world of Disney.
Now, what we're hearing, though, is it's not just Disney fans that haven't been happy with the direction of things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people internally at Disney, a lot of people at the upper echelons at Disney have not been happy with him and what he's been doing. And now that he's gone, I think you're going to see more people talking about that. I just never imagined that it would go down like this. I thought they simply would not renew his next contract.
Couldn't wait.
I think I read somewhere that they had basically got in touch with Bob Iger on Friday night, and he accepted the position Sunday morning. And that's how quickly it all kind of happened. And I think Iger only is making like $1 million a year.
Well, okay. Plus, his base salary is $1 million. But according to the SEC filing that they made, it comes with an annual bonus of up to $1 million, as well as annual incentive-based award with a target value of $25 million. That means he has the potential of pulling in around $27 million.
Provided he does well.
Yeah.
As of right now, his tenure will begin on November 20th and end on December 31st, 2024 for this contract. And I'm reading this from CNN Business, while $27 million is a lot of money, it's less than the roughly $46 million he made of the total compensation when he left the company at the end of last year.
I hope he has some left to survive.
God, geez, that's
so you think about it, though. You think about it, though. He's coming back for less money. He's desperate. I think he was desperate to get that job back. I think he regretted leaving, or at least leaving it to Chapek.
Yeah.
Leaving it to Chapek. I think he felt, and you know, this was anecdotal and, you know, third hand reports that have been flying around the media for months, that he felt Chapek was undoing his legacy. And a lot of the good things that he had done. Chapek's done a lot of reorganizations. There's been a lot of firings, a lot of unceremonious. I forgot who the guy was just recently that came to work one morning and found out and a release that he no longer had a job.
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. You know, everybody was hand wringing over that. That,
I have a
question.
An
awful way to do it, and yet, and now notice this announcement gets made. He wasn't offered the opportunity to say, I've decided to step down, save face. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like he's being fired. Normally, those things will happen. You know, if they decide they want to get rid of you, they say, listen, retire now. Announce you're retiring. Announce you're stepping down. And, you know, so at least publicly you can do it on your own terms. They didn't give him that option.
He had to clean his desk out. You think his secretary did it, or he got?
Oh, I think somebody else did it.
He never went in.
Yeah, I don't think he
got his little box, his little cardboard box, and took his stuff out.
Well, I apparently they're saying that like Iger has been saying for the last couple months, the better part of this year, that he felt like Disney was losing its soul, and so it's been like that kind of chatter on the inside. Well, look,
there's no question that Bob Chapek is, you know, a dementor. Was a dementor in that company, sucking the soul out of it. But I also think it's important as Disney fans that we keep this in perspective. That, you know, I hear a lot of things from people that, oh, they're going to get rid of, you know, Iger's going to come in and get rid of Genie Plus. No, those are not the changes that are coming. Those are not the changes they're focused on. The first thing on Bob Iger's list of things to fix are not Genie Plus. Now, I'm not saying that down the road somewhere they may not revisit that. They may.
Yeah, Iger's going to have to do something for fans at some point. I think.
But Iger was relatively good about that.
Yes, he was very good about it. As we talked about on our first stream that go out, Iger is a great politician.
Right.
I mean, that's why he was getting the question for years about, are you going to run for president? He was a true politician in terms of how he was a CEO. He was also a great business person, but he also he knew how to listen to people. And the problem with Chapek for me is that I like to now think of him as the boss from Christmas Vacation that got rid of all the bonuses and decided to hand out the Jelly of the Month Club in lieu of that.
It's the gift that keeps on giving all year.
It is the gift that keeps on giving all year. But the problem with that is then when he's tied up in Clark's house with a bow, he has to see, well, this is how it actually impacted my employees. And that's something that Chapek just never really got in that regards. For him, it was all about the bottom line and not necessarily the people. And that, I mean, that was clear in things he has said over and over again about following the data. Yes, he always talked about the families in Denver, Seattle, Iowa, wherever the heck else they came from, and had them in mind, but it wasn't the same way. Iger is a politician. He knows how to balance all of those aspects, whereas Chapek was just a straight businessman. And it was kind of one of those things that inevitably it felt like it was going to crack because of this. And for the longest time, fans saw different aspects of the company as broken, whether it was the theme parks, which, you know, they've been getting worse and worse. We've talked much about that. A lot of people have complained about that. Other aspects of the company too, with, you know, not some of the theatrical choices, Disney Plus choices, all very strange on what they're making. Fans, I think, have seen this for a while, but the data wasn't pointing to it. And it's very good that apparently the board or Christine McCarthy or whoever finally figured it out, that it doesn't matter just what data is coming in, that it also has to have these other aspects to it. The soul that, you know, Bob Iger says is left from the company. Regardless, someone finally put the pieces together and made the right decision. And I've not necessarily defended Chapek. I don't think he's as terrible as a person as so many other people.
I don't think he's a terrible person. I don't know the man as a person. So I never felt he was a terrible person. But I felt he was the wrong guy to be running Disney and making bad decisions in terms of the direction.
Exactly. And like the Jelly of the Month Club.
Like the Jelly of the Month Club. That's a, the Jelly of the Month Club was a bad choice. And I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic with Iger coming back. I'm happy Iger's coming back.
I just hope people aren't expecting too much too soon.
Well, I think there's been so much frustration among the fan community I'm speaking about.
Right.
There's been so much frustration with things. The increase in prices, at the same time, the value is going down. Now, that I absolutely lay on Chapek's shoulders. At the end of the day, I think it is his policies and his way of managing that led to those decisions. I also lay some of that at Josh D'Amaro's feet. I don't know how limited he is in what he can do when the CEO is setting a certain direction.
Teresa said earlier that Josh D'Amaro had been promoted, and somebody in this chat just said that he had a new title as well today. That it's chair of the Disney Parks Experiences and Products Division. So I don't know if they've already started to restructure the company back totally to what it was. It. No. Somebody is tagging us in and saying,
you.
No, that's Tina. But I thought that's what his title was. But I know that, Bob, you said not to expect a lot, but I know that Iger has made it very clear that they are immediately going to start restructuring the company with Story as the forefront in all forms of the company. And I feel like that's the big thing that Chapek kind of just brushed aside.
It wasn't just in my head then.
No. Today, it wasn't. I don't know. Somebody's tagging us and saying it. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they're saying that in terms of the decision. I mean, that's his role that he got promoted to before back in 2020 was chairman of DPEP. DPEP is still Disney Parks Experiences and Products.
Right. Now, he's been in charge of that all along. So I'm not seeing, and I'm looking here, I'm not seeing anything that is...
My close personal friend that backed me up there.
are you the person in there? Are you trolling us right now?
Teresa's right. I know she's right.
I'm just not seeing anything about that.
I know there were rumblings that he potentially was on the chopping block to be cut loose, but I think he's become such a fan favorite person, it wouldn't be the right decision to do right now. But I do think he holds a responsibility in sort of the changes that have happened as well.
I would be very surprised. He was not, I mean, I'm sure he worked really well with Bob Chapek, but he's not a Chapek acolyte. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, not like Kareem Daniels, who also got let go. You know, he was, what was his official title? The chairman of the Media and Entertainment Distribution Division. This was Chapek's top lieutenant and was the focus point of the most recent reorganization Chapek initiated, where he took kind of control of all the different divisions away from those division heads and centered it on Kareem Daniels. And I guess with Chapek gone, I don't know if Daniels was fired or if he voluntarily stepped down.
I have to assume he was fired.
He was
kind of that confusing person in there. I'm not saying that he wasn't good at what he was doing, but there felt like something off with the fact that Chapek was leaning so heavily on him. And
because it's a big job and you got to have people to help you, right?
Of course.
You got to have your trusty little sidekick.
Well,
but one of the reorganization changes, Iger, is the first thing he announced was he's getting rid of that structure and he's putting power and control back in the hands of the media, the division heads.
Which makes sense. Right? You have to trust those people. The people you put in charge, you have to be able to trust their judgment because you can't do it all yourself. You got to be able to delegate some stuff, right?
Yeah. And I'm interested to see what this all.
Yeah, I think Chapek also has a non-disparaging disclosure in his thing, so he can't talk about this. I don't think, like, yeah, it was
non-disparagement clause.
Yeah, where essentially they said that was rolled in, but that was put into his contract when they did the 3-year thing in February.
So he can't come out and have a comment.
I don't know if they did that knowing they were starting what they're doing and stuff. But yeah, basically he got 20 or $25 million to just be able to be like,
walk away and do your
cuts. Yeah, let's understand, Chapek's crying all the way to the bank. Just because they fire him doesn't mean they don't have to pay out his contract. So they're buying out his contract. Yeah. That's effectively how they do it, is they buy out the contract and say, get out. So here's your money. We're going to give you the money we promised you, but we don't want you around anymore.
Who's going to hire him now? Twitter?
I'm sure he's eminently high. I mean, not for nothing, the man led Disney. Now, you can say what you want about how well he led Disney, but the man was the CEO of a major media empire. So he's eminently employable. I don't think he's going to have trouble finding a job. The question is, what job can he have?
Baskin-Robbins.
I was going to say a frontline cast member, and that might, you know, help put some things into perspective in the long run. But the next interesting part will be to see who Bob Iger tries to bring back into the mix. And like you were talking earlier, Peter Rice was the one who was just unceremoniously left out. Like, are they going to try to bring him back in the mix? Because of course, that was a potential person who could have been the CEO.
Well, that was the speculation. Chapek got rid of him because
he's a threat.
He viewed him as a threat. Mm-hmm. He viewed him as a threat. That was speculation at the time. Of course, we have no way of knowing if that's true or not. But that was a speculation at the time, that Peter Rice was seen as being someone who could potentially take over as the next CEO. So it's a good question. Do they bring him back and groom him?
I mean, they have to find someone. I don't think internally right now there is anyone who is ready to step into Bob Iger's place when he leaves. So they either have to find someone that used to be part of the company that wants to be willing to come back in if they feel like they can give them a shot, or it has to be, you know, I don't know. I don't know where they pull someone out of
unlike
hat.
Kevin Feige's hat.
Unlike many media companies, Disney has a lot more moving parts.
Yeah.
It's not just running a movie studio. It's not just running a television network. It's not just running a streaming service. It's not just running a theme park. It's all of these. And they're all big. They're all big. None of these are small divisions. None of these are insignificant contributors to the overall health of the company. So you have to – this is why I love Josh D'Amaro, and I would love nothing more than to see him step into the role as CEO. But he simply doesn't have the experience. He doesn't have the experience in television. He doesn't have the experience in movies.
And that would require him to literally leave the parks and want to explore a different aspect of the company in order to get that experience. And
if what you see as part of Iger's reorganization is Josh being moved into one of those other divisions, then he's the one being groomed.
Yeah,
because you have
then he's the one being groomed. And look, you know, we talk about Iger being a natural politician. Josh D'Amaro is the best damn politician I've ever seen. Mainly because he's sincere. And he not only comes across as sincere, he's actually sincere.
Yes.
Now, I don't agree with a lot of the decisions the man has made as chairman of Parks and Resorts. And I've made no secret about that. I love him. I know the man as a person. And I tell you, he's a great, great, great guy. But I also don't know what pressures he faces. As, you know, as chairman of Parks and Resorts, it's not like all decisions are his. He has to carry out whatever the CEO determines the course of the company is. Mm-hmm. Now, he has a voice in that. And I don't know this for a fact, but I would guess that one of the happiest people at Disney today is Josh D'Amaro. I think he carried out what he's had to carry out. I think he's part of the decision-making process. But I think he was doing what he had to do. And we'll see. We'll see now that Iger's back. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. The hope is that Iger steps in and says to Josh, you know, your job is safe. I know the old way that we were working, that under Chapek, was obviously very data-driven and based on, I don't want to say sucking people dry, but that's, and that sounded weird.
Excuse you.
Save that for the Patreon.
Excuse you, Daddy.
that's more for the Patreon.
That would be. But basically, I hope he says, let's
somewhere else.
Yeah, that really went badly. I hope he would go straight to him and say, you know what? Start focusing back on the guest experience first. When the guest experience is great, the money will follow.
I think that conversation's already been had.
It's
Tuesday afternoon. They've talked. You know they have.
I don't know. Look, I think Iger was far cry better than Chapek. But I think Eisner was a far cry better than Iger in a lot of ways. As far as the parks are concerned. As far as the business is concerned, no question Iger wins hands down. As far as the parks are concerned,
Eisner.
I think Eisner was the only person to run that company since Walt Disney who got it. Who got it where the parks were concerned.
Well, and that's arguably because Eisner was far more creative. I don't want to say anything disparaging against Iger in that case, but Eisner was able to focus so much on the creative side of everything because he was in that partnership where he wasn't necessarily bogged down with all the money
details. He had Frank Wells, yeah.
Exactly. So that was a nice working part. Eisner was kind of that all-in-one package, Iger was that all-in-one package that he could really handle both sides of those really, really well. And it's tough because whoever is the next CEO, I think they need to be creative first and foremost, and they should have the best interest of how the company moves forward creatively at the forefront. Like that's important. That's Disney. It's an entertainment.
Here's what I don't understand. That statement you just made about the importance of the leader of the company being creative, being a creative, is as obvious as saying the sky is blue, yet it appears to escape the board of directors when they select these people, at least where Chapek is concerned. Did they not realize this man would know a creative idea if he tripped over it?
I think the most insane part for me is how this is history repeating, because I said it in our other live stream, but if you've never seen the Steve Jobs biopic that Danny Boyle did with Michael Fassbender in it, this is like right out of a scene from that movie, which I know is a little bit more of a fictionalized version of what actually happened in life. But they literally talk about Apple, that the whole point of Apple was to put computers into creative people's hand, and they brought in a CEO in terms of, oh my God, I forgot the guy's name, but the Pepsi guy who came in and was a numbers guy like Chapek, and that is when the company tanked. And I feel like they were seeing that exact same level happen again. And I'm not saying that Iger is like Jobs.
Yeah, this is not Nestle's, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about a company that makes products.
Yeah.
And that kind of numbers guy thing works fine there. You don't have to be a creative to run Nestle. But if you're running a media empire as diverse as Disney, then you better be a creative.
And the product approach worked for a very short amount of time for them. And they were able to skate by, but obviously with the stock going where it did, that approach wasn't viable long term. And so now they need to get back to the creative side about it. Obviously, they can't lose track of the money because they still have to answer to stockholders and the boards. But I think they need to really focus in on the creative side. And I still genuinely don't know who steps in that role. I would love, as Josh is a person, I would love for him to be able to learn the movie side, the business side of things from what he doesn't know in 2 years, but I almost feel like that's not enough time. I know Rhino keeps saying, obviously, Kevin Feige.
And I think John Favreau is another potential name throw out there because he's been working with the Parks Experience people lately, I've noticed.
Well, that's the hard part, is then you have these kind of creatives who are very creatively driven that also are obsessed with the parks and love the parks, but I feel like they need a Frank Wells if they were ever
Do they have the business? Yeah. You can't ignore the business side. You can't ignore the nuts and bolts.
So maybe the business needs to change then.
Well,
and they need to go back to that original style.
Well, let's see. Let's see. When the company has succeeded, it's because a creative has been at the helm. Walt Disney was a creative. Now, he had his brother to handle the nuts and bolts. We talked about Michael Eisner had Frank Wells handle the nuts and bolts. Yeah. And Iger, I think you point out, and you're correct, was kind of a combination of both. He had the creative instincts, but also the business sense. Mm-hmm. And when you have that together in one person, you've got gold. And then you have Chapek, who I'm sure is very competent as a business leader, as a nuts and bolts guy. But as I said, wouldn't know a creative idea if he tripped over his dead body.
Yeah, if he would have been in the CFO position, I'm sure he would have done great things. But regardless, too, I think that also shines a light on Christine McCarthy, too, that if they would go that route where they want someone more creatively driven, I can't see her being in the helm as CEO or CFO for too long, because I feel like she also doesn't understand anything from the fan perspective. I mean,
well, I don't think the CFO needs to.
Yeah, but you also can't go on an investor call and insult your customers' waistlines. And
True.
Always still have to be a part of those calls.
Well, it's an interesting point. Let's talk about this for a second. I don't believe that the sentiment of the fan community is the reason Bob Chapek is gone. I don't think that is the reason. I think the stock price is the reason. However, I think if the fan community had been ferociously behind him, I don't think this would have happened. Mm-hmm. I don't think this would have happened. And I think we may have more of a voice than I originally thought. I'm not saying we here. I'm talking about the fan community. May have more of a voice than I originally thought. I think we do get under their skin. I think they do hear what we say. I think it does bother them. I think they do pay attention. I just don't think they know how to react to it. I think we got under Bob Chapek's skin, some of the things he's done over the years, some of the things he said over the years that led me to believe we gotten under his skin, that he was hearing it. Hearing and listening are two different things. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, because Iger was pretty good with the fan community. I'll give him that. So it'll be nice to have somebody back in there who listens. Yeah. Now, does he listen well enough to get rid of Genie Plus? I don't know. Does he listen well enough to bring back annual passes and get rid of park reservations? I don't know.
Yeah. I would love to sit here and be totally wrong, but I don't think a lot of that stuff is going to instantly switch off or even, just be erased away in the near future.
No, not
just because it's they had reasons. they had reasons why they did it in the first place. It wasn't that they were being evil and they're saying these fans don't appreciate anything that we give them, so let's make it harder on their lives.
I don't think that was it. I think, you know, we talked about Chapek being data-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The whole thing, COVID, it was COVID cover, as I've called it before. COVID cover. Get away with doing things we've wanted to do for a long time but couldn't, that COVID gave us the excuse to do.
Yeah.
The park reservation system is a classic example of that. It has nothing to do with managing the number of people in the parks. Nothing whatsoever. It has to do with data collection. It has to do with data collection.
And that's something, park reservations, you can drop that with no issues at all. But Genie Plus does make considerable money.
It makes money. So the likelihood, now, I look, I'll settle for park reservations going away. An annual pass is coming back. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'll settle for that.
It's
two out of three ain't bad. I to quote Meatloaf, I would be okay with that. You know, I think if honestly, if he's listening, you really, really want fans to like carry you around on their shoulders, Mr. Iger, get rid of Genie Plus. Get rid of Genie Plus. You're making enough money on the parks. And you can find other places to increase your revenue. You always have. You're very good at it. But the whole Genie Plus thing, replacing a free service, is an analogy for everything that was wrong with Chapek's regime. It is a perfect analogy for everything that was wrong.
Like Magical Express.
Getting rid of Magical. Well, again, I don't think Chapek's involved in the decision to get rid of Magical Express.
Still.
But it's the culture that trickles down because shit, stuff rolls downhill.
See, that's the hard part too. When Genie was announced originally, Iger was still in that CEO position, but, you know, arguably that's when Chapek was running the park. So it could have, it was most likely the brainchild of Chapek, but Iger potentially signed off on it. So I don't know what they actually do when it really comes down to it. If it's a full blown conversation about what's best for our company, or if it's a, hey, we want to do this to make some money. Okay, go and do it. Like, I don't know what level that's at there, but it's a little messy in that sense. But I mean, it would be a massive, massive change that not just is good for fans. I mean, it's good for everyone. Everyone would see that and say, like, Iger's actually listening to us. He cares about us. He cares about the experience. I mean, if you want to look at fans being important, I think the more important group in all of this was the cast members that literally basically stood out on towers and cried and rejoiced when the news came out, because that's how they felt. I don't want to use the word oppressed, but they felt like something was not right while Chapek was in there. I'm sure there are some people who supported him and were okay with it, but my friends who are cast members, former Imagineers I follow, people in the animation industry, everyone was basically singing out how good of a change this was and how much they disliked Chapek being in power. So now, all of a sudden, you have cast members and all of these people who are creating the magic for us in different ways, whether it's with movies or theme parks, you have them now remotivated again.
It's a new day.
It's so you have them motivated because they're now working for someone that they like, and you work a lot better when you like someone who you think cares about you. And so now they have that going for them. If something like Genie Plus being erased away, park reservations, anything like that, you're talking a tidal wave of just really, really good press overall, not just on small fan sites, but that's the kind of stuff that gets picked up on massive news. Mm-hmm. Everyone will run the fact that it's Disney is removing its service because we live in an age now where, because of like our friend Natasha you know, she's on all of these big Disney stories with CNN, and every news outlet covers the park so much more in depth now that these big changes will get the press, and it will put Disney in such a good light.
But yeah,
they have to do it. Yeah. They can't just sit around and not do anything.
Yeah. Well, it's a good Thanksgiving.
All right. Merry Christmas early.
Yeah.
So the question that I have from it, I'm not trying to, I know we've been going, we don't know how long we've been going on actually since.
40 minutes.
40 minutes. The new ship that they bought.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
Like,
we have to also, talk about that.
Especially because Cruise Line was, you know, that was also such a passionate thing for Bob Iger. How, at least that I felt about it. It seemed like he always cared about the ships when I was on the Magic Reimagining and he was walking around on the top deck in his skimpy little swimsuit. He really seemed to enjoy the product. Ooh. Yeah, it was very awkward. I didn't know who he was at the time. And I remember Sean and Corey, where I was like filming him getting ready to go down the slide they added to the Magic. And Sean and Corey were hitting me like, do not film him. I'm like, what's the big deal? Like, that's Bob Chapek. Like,
oh, it was Chapek.
Or sorry, Bob Iger.
Oh, I was like,
it was
say,
Bob Iger. Oh, I can't.
I just had a for a moment. Oh, no. I had a vision in my head of Bob Chapek in a skimpy bathing suit, and I'll never be the same again.
I'm ready to start erasing Bob Chapek I need to erase him from my Twitter profile picture first, and then I'll erase him from my memory. Beyond that, but
Those who don't know what we're talking about, it was rumored last month that an unfinished megaship that had been commissioned by a company that went bankrupt was in negotiations to be sold to Disney. And it turns out that rumor was true. Disney has confirmed that the partially completed ship will be purchased by them and will be become part of the Disney fleet. Now, this was a ship that was being designed to be sailed in Asia. And that's personally where I think this ship is going.
I'd be okay with it because I know it's not their design ship. I love the classic look of Disney ships, not always the layout of all their ships, but I love the look from their ships. And I hate the fact that this looks like an Oasis class ship smashed up with Disney. It just looks so
right. We're talking about a mega ship here. We're talking about a ship that will have a passenger capacity of approximately 6,000 people.
Oh, Lord,
it's too many people.
And 2,300 crew members. So that is that is considerable. And it's comparable to the Oasis of the Seas, Allure of the Seas, the larger ships that Royal Caribbean has.
You don't think they'll Disney-fy it and make it?
Oh, of course they're going to Disney-fy it, and you know, but
it's
the whole
intimacy of a Disney ship that also is what makes them.
Well, this
so
is going to give, you know, you've got your classics, the Wonder. You've got the smaller ships. You've got now you're going to have this one for that kind of people who like that kind of. They want Disney, but they want mega.
It's just my opinion. I think it's easier to manage the Magic when it's a lot more condensed.
Yeah,
I don't know. See, here's the difference. The price of a stateroom on a Royal Caribbean megaship is going to be considerably different than the price of a stateroom on a Disney megaship. I don't think they can fill, in addition to what they already have, with the Dream, the Fantasy, and the Wish all sailing out of Port Canaveral. I don't think they can fill an additional 6,000 staterooms or 6,000 people on a ship, being that it's being designed for an Asian market.
But won't they tie in the Asian parks?
Well, that was the rumor, is that they'll create a port that they'll start sailing out of. This will be for an Asian side.
Looking
of the
back on how fast the Trans-Pacific ones went for October of next year and February of 24. Those ships filled up in 2 days.
Yeah, and but that's different then adding another 6,000 people, having to fill another 6,000 spots.
Every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
On a ship when you already have the Wish, the Dream, and the Fantasy coming out of Port Canaveral.
Dreams in Miami.
Or the Florida.
And Miami, Florida.
Coming out of Florida.
Yeah.
Then you have the Magic and the Wonder on the Magic is going out of.
And Dream's going to the Med. So
where's that new one going? The green one, screen on the inside. Treasure, is that what you said?
Treasure. We don't know yet.
Treasure's going to replace the Fantasy.
Okay. And the Fantasy will probably go to South Florida, right? And the Dream will stay in Europe.
That's correct. Kind of my. Well, I think that's what's going to happen. But remains to be seen. All this is speculation. But Disney has confirmed they are buying the ship. And, you know, what was interesting is that the ship was being designed. Well, first of all, it's a ship that is going to be fueled. It'll be the first one in the cruise industry fueled by green methanol, one of the lowest emission fuels available. And it's being construction is being completed at Meyer Werft Shipyard, which is really where all the ships are built now for Disney. The Magic and the Wonder were built at the Ficcantieri shipyards in Italy. I think that's a better shipbuilder personally than Meyer Werft, but the Germans. And I say that with the last name of Werner. Okay, so don't send me emails.
They make a fine product.
They make a fine product.
So was this
Italians make a beautiful product.
Was this in the pipes under Chapek? Did he have a decision in this, buying this ship? Or
I mean, the decision didn't just come out yesterday.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying this is going to fall under something that he did.
Yeah, you're not going to spend a couple $1 billion on a ship.
Oh, by the way, I bought a ship.
Without him knowing about it. Yeah, and that's one of those, I feel like that's one of those ones where they're looking at what's the fastest way to generate money. And they know that Cruise Line generates money. So you have a ship that is basically built that all you have to do is Disney-fy it, which costs money, but you can get that on the market very soon and start generating so much more income in a market you're not already tapping. I mean, it's one of those things. If it was Josh that threw out that idea, someone who works lower than Josh for Cruise Line, or if it was Chapek himself, someone saw the benefit in this decision because I think it's going to work for them. It might not be pretty from the outside, but I'm sure it will be a success.
Oh, we can reserve judgment on what it's going to look like. I mean, that's anybody's guess.
Think of the employees they're going to have to employ for that. And I mean, I think it opens up a whole new the Asian market. Then you've got all the Asian parks. You've got ABD that might open up that even wider. If you connect it all together, there's going to be clients that are going to want that.
And they won't have problems finding people to work on the ship, especially if you just offer a little bit more than the other cruise lines do. You'll pull them over. And I'm sure, I don't know, maybe they have non-competes or something where they can't leave ship. I doubt that. But I mean, they won't have no problem staffing the ships. It's not like everyone wants a fifth park in Walt Disney World. And things aren't going great as they are right now with four and all the hotels that we have. I don't know who would ever run a fifth park if we were ever to have it, but I do know that Disney would be able to find people to run the new ships as they keep building them. So that's something to lean into.
Because Disney has so few ships compared to Royal Caribbean, you know?
Well, it's like a little
boutique industry.
Well, Disney is a boutique cruise line. It's not a mega line like Carnival.
Do they want to be?
You know, I'm sure if they thought it made business sense, they would go in that direction. They're going to follow the business winds, so to speak. It's almost certainly going to sail out of Asia. So those of us thinking we're going on the maiden voyage, you better pack a bag and spend some money because you're going to be going to Asia. Now, they haven't said that. This is my speculation. But I don't see any other way. They're filling a 6,000, not at their price point. Not at their price point. I don't see any way they're filling 6,000 berths on a ship with the inventory they currently have here. I don't see it. But I could be wrong. I mean, Disney Cruise Line sells really well. They fill those ships. I could be wrong, but there's no way you're going to charge the same price for that that you're going to charge for the Wish.
Yep.
You're going to have to lower the price.
You're going to have to go check it out.
I'm sure we'll see. We'll see.
It'll be. I mean, I would want to do it just because, you know, I want to always have the statement of being able to say I've been on every ship, so I know how I compare them all together. So it would eat me alive from the inside if the ship comes out is directly over in Asia and I can't do it right away. It would just gnaw at my soul. But I'm a completionist in that. I buy movies that are part of series just because I need to have the full set, even if I hate the movies. It's just I'm broken. But I'm broken. Admit it.
Well, self-awareness is the first step. I mean, but no. So I look, I'm happy anytime there's an announcement, there's a new Disney ship coming. More is better in my opinion. Just, you know, how that's going to be positioned, how it's going to materialize, remains to be seen. But
so what will be first, the Treasure or this new one?
I imagine the Treasure.
The Treasure? Okay.
I imagine the Treasure. Well,
because the Treasure is coming.
24?
What year is it? 2024, right?
24.
I thought it was next year, but I don't know. I think you're right. I think,
isn't
I
that
think
20, it might be. No, next year's 23.
23, yeah.
No, 24.
I'm so confused. I remember at D23 Expo, they had like the one number up on the board, and then it was different from what it was in person, though.
Yeah.
And I have too much going on in my brain right now to remember minute details like that.
Your son will be 6 years old when the ship comes out. I'm guessing.
Now you're really hurting my brain in a way. But no, Treasure. Treasure.
Okay. Treasure will be next.
I vote Treasure.
Okay. Yeah, I think Treasure will be next, followed by
whatever
they're going to call this one.
Mulan.
So
whatever.
We'll have to see.
We will have to see.
But that, folks, is going to do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving coming up in a few days. And we'll see you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, and remember, stay out of the damn lakes.